Greetings, everyone. This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or prairie traffic? Please call K2BAR. That's a good answer. Oh, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT. And this net is a weekly net. It's a conversation about amateur radio, telecommunications, electronics, computers, the natural and not-so-natural sciences that underlie all those things, the applied technology, what we do with our hobby, how we extend ourselves in the service of others, how we explore new things, how we get smarter, how we prove that we've got so much more to learn, things that we want to do, things we, or if you will, aspire to do, things that we hope to do again, and things we never want to do again, all those things. A free-for-all conversation about life, liberty, and ham radio, as it were. So we do need you to participate, no matter what you might think. So we ask people to come in with questions, comments, for sale, swap, or wanted items, some combination of those things, and none of the above. And the none of the above category is so that we know how to do, shall we say, scale the net. We might even ask you a question yourself or ask you to comment on a topic because we know you're there. So please participate. So let's roll forward. How does one enter the net? Well, one gets on 146.955 megahertz, 146.955 minus 600 kilohertz. And use a 141.3 PL. That's 141.3 PL. And you, if you are within our range of Alpine, New Jersey, where the repeater is located, you will get in just fine. The repeater is run by the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club. It's graciously allowed us to use the repeater for both Barra's and Chestnut Ridge's TechNet. So, one other way you get in to the net is via the K2 Foxtrot Juliet dash Lima, K2 Foxtrot Juliet dash Lima Echo Link, and hopefully you'll have that access if you're outside of RF range or planning to be outside of RF range. We do have a separate Echo Link check-in, so don't worry, we will get to you irrespective of when you check in. Alrighty, let's see. Further ado, we just ask, how do we check in? We check in with our call sign, our name. We indicate whether we have a question, comment, for sale, swap, or wanted item, combination of things, or none of the above, as I mentioned before. And we do it by call sign group. So, stations as call signs begin with the letter Whiskey. Please call K2BAR.
W2JEK, done with a comment.
It's Richard, W2PDQ, Clifton, New Jersey. No questions, no comments.
W-A-2-I-S-E, Bob, short comment.
W-2-J-E-K, Don, with a comment, got you. And Richard, W-2-P-D-Q, got you, welcome aboard. Any other Whiskey 2s?
W-2-L-C-N, the name is Rick, in Bloomingdale, New Jersey. I guess I have a comment.
W-2-L-C-N, Rick, good evening as well. Any other Whiskeys?
WI2W Steve, probably won't be here for the whole net, but I'll be around for a little while. No comments.
WI2W, good evening, Steve. Welcome aboard. Any other Whiskeys?
Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, Randy, Washington Township, with a comment.
WU2S, Randy, welcome aboard with your comment. Well, good evening. Any other Whiskeys?
WE2R, Charlie, just listening.
WE2R, Charlie, welcome aboard. Any other Whiskeys? Okay, Kilo 2s.
Thanks, K2EIR, Howie in Tarrytown, none of the above.
K2EIR, good evening, Howie. Any other Kilo 2s?
K2GFM with a comment and a question.
K2GFM, Greg, with a comment. Very good. Welcome aboard, Greg. And a question. Pardon me. Question and a comment. Yeah. Comment, question. All right. Sorry about that.
Any other Kilo 2s?
Kilo 2 Alpha Mike India, K2AMI, Tony, and with a comment.
Good evening, Tony. Okay, very good. Any other Kilo 2s? Okay, very good. Any other Kilos?
Delta 2, Delta India Golf, Don Mespico, listening.
KD2, Delta India Golf. Good evening, Don. Welcome aboard. Any other Kilos? Okay, Alpha Stations. Okay, how about Novembers?
QXI.
November 2, QXI. Is that Gabriel?
Bravo, Oscar Bravo. No comment.
Okay, N2QXI, Bob. Very good, Bob. Thought you were somebody else for a second. Not a worry. Any other Novembers?
NY9A, George in Tarrytown, and no comment, but I love to listen.
Good evening, George, NY9A. Welcome aboard. Nice seeing you the other day, and Howie as well. Any other Novembers?
N2NBR, John, Northwestchester. I have an antenna question concerning wind load.
Okay, very good. I have a question, John. Not a worry. We will get to it. And any other Novembers?
November 2, Juliet Delta Hotel. I have a question. The name here is Andre.
Good evening, Andre, and to JDH. Any other Novembers?
November 8, MAR. Name is Dave. No questions, no comments. Can't stay around for the whole net. From Maywood.
All right, very good, Dave. Welcome aboard, N8MAR. Before we proceed too long, because I know you're on a short time, what's your, are you long in the area, or are you just visiting, or what?
Yeah, Gordon, this is David from the Fairlawn Club. I just upgraded my, or got a vanity call, so I wound up with an 8 somehow.
Somehow because you asked for it. Okay, very good. Nice, Dave. Very good. Alrighty. Any other Novembers? Okay. Any other stations on Echolink?
Ken in Alliance, Nebraska. I have a question and a comment. Back to you, Ned.
Question and a comment. Got you both. Any other stations on Echolink? Okay, very good. Alrighty. Any other stations on the repeater? Okay, well, there are 18 of us, including N2FWI, who did most logging here. Very good. Nice to hear everybody this evening. For those of you who might be getting text messages from FEMA, the usual various alerts that they give out, I've had like 50 or 60 today alone, and most of them this evening. It's crazy. Most of them announcing disaster declarations or advisories as a result of the storms earlier in the week. So pretty crazy. I think it was yesterday, actually. Yesterday. And rocking through the whole east and lots of stuff, so pretty crazy. So it's a reminder, as Bob, our good friend, used to point out, that it's time to charge your batteries and make sure that you've got your go kit ready to rock and roll, that your families are squared away as well, your pets, etc. So with no further ado, I'm going to give it to Don, and then we're going to write to Tony, and then we'll go through the rest of the list. W2JEK, K2BAR, your ball.
K2BAR and the net W2JEK, good evening everybody. Barrow will be running a test session tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Regional High School on 701 Ridgewood Road, Township of Washington. Buck, that's the $15. Nothing, bring an ID, like picture ID, like a driver's license or a passport. Or ID, nope, non-photo ID, two forms of non-photo ID. Our license, please bring your license and a copy of the license. You'll need your social security number, or an FRN number that you will obtain from the FCCM. Calculator, that's fine, the memory has to be empty. iPods, etc. cannot calculator. Keep in mind that the general class exam question pool will change on June 30th, and then my first will be a new set of questions. I advise you studying the current material, finish studying, get into it, get tested by the end of June. That's a wrap in a second. General advanced extra licenses beyond the grace period. Second to ham radio, current extra exam, current technician exam, the general gets a general, the advanced class will have to get a general because of advanced license being issued. Extra class will get the extra class back. Anyone who has a technician license now or ever did have a technician license issued before March 27th. Good for a general paper, currently licensed. Use that license to upgrade from a technician to a general as a paper upgrade. If you has expired, you can use that license to take the current technician exam. With that fact, then that's W2JEK.
Okie dokie. Very good. Don, anybody have any questions or comments for Don regarding the upcoming exam session tomorrow or licensing in general? Alrighty, Don, anything you want to add?
Yeah, one thing, if you are coming to the test session, it's at 7 over on Lynchwood Road. The directions to the building are on www.bara.org, on our website. You'll get directions, use the Hamfest, directions to the Hamfest. Get to the school, you go in the entrance driveway, which is on the side of the school. Driveway in the middle of the school is the exit, you can't use that. That driveway, turn left, go all the way across the front of the school, come and pass the stop sign and park in that parking lot to the side of the school. At the back, place the street marked gymnasium, you use that door. There's some people wandering around the school, like when I'm not home, but they help them. So, get that information out so people can use it. Back to that, W2JK.
Okay, very good, Don. Thank you very much. Any other comments for Don? Alrighty. Well, thank you, Don. Much obliged. Let's go over to Tony, K2AMI. Your ball, sir, K2BAR.
Well, it's K2AMI. I just have two little comments, and I...
Tony, you just dropped out. Okay, we're going to come back to Tony when he gets his battery situation straightened out. I think that's what that was. W2LCN, Mr. Rick, it's your ball. Jeez, this is not funny. All right. Tony, are you back?
Testing, yeah, I guess I'm back now. Sorry. Had a little problem here. just that I read the current ARL newsletter that comes down every week. That this weekend, starting Zulu time tomorrow, is special event stations for Marconi. It starts at 00:00 Friday night and runs through on Sunday, and there'll be a number of stations celebrating Marconi's birthday, and of course one of the stations will be up at Cape Cod. Should be easy to work, and if you read those, you can find out the requirements to get a certificate. That was one of my comments. The second comment was that in 2 weeks or so, we're going to be having a portable day in the park over at Pascack Brook Park. And that kind of creates a problem that there's no plug-in power there, so you either have to bring a generator or a battery. So I was, I had recently acquired a automobile booster pack type battery, the one clip onto your battery if your battery is dead in your car. Got a handle on the top. Mine has an 18 ampere hour battery in it, and it clips onto the battery of a car to start a car. But what I'm using it for is I've tapped into it and brought out two power pole connections, a plus and a minus, and they go directly to the battery in the battery boost, battery jump cable device that I have. So now I've got 12 volts and a power pole coming out of the radio, out of the battery pack, and that makes a very convenient buy to power portable radios. A lot of people do have these battery boost things hanging around waiting for a dead battery in their car, but they could be used as an emergency power source with a very little modification. Just a suggestion, and it seems fine for me.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Tanya. Let me get a beep. Yeah, that's a great idea, and other people have done that before, but you're right. I think many more people have those things than actually set about to use them for this purpose, so good for you to make the mod and make it more convenient. It's better than, you know, using the big jaws on a skinny piece of wire. So good for you. That's most excellent. Anyway, anybody else have any thoughts on portable power such as this?
Comment
go.
The comment not on portable, Dave, although I encourage everybody to participate in that. Barrett does a really nice job, and that Pascack Brook Park is a terrific venue. It's a lot of fun, but regarding International Marconi Day on Saturday, just so no one gets confused, this is not to be confused with Macaroni Day, which is on July 7th, so please don't confuse your favorite pasta with the radio inventor. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to net control.
But it's going to be in the 50s, so you might want some macaroni on Marconi Day, don't you think?
It could be, or a pasta of your choice.
With all due respect, I don't think either one of us should go anywhere near pasta for about 6 months. Not just me, I'm just saying. I mean, just anyway, yeah. That's right. And by the way, the Ocean Monmouth Amateur Radio Club will be running either N2MO or K2USA. Not sure which they're running this year, or both. Fort Monmouth station was closed, as you know, and when they closed the fort and the station was transferred to the last vestiges of Fort Monmouth that are there, and that's the Project Diana site down in Ocean, Ocean Monmouth, I should say. So they will be running an operation certainly during the day. I don't know in the evening or either Friday or Saturday, but I wouldn't be surprised. But certainly a great operation to check out. It's a lot of fun. Alrighty. Anybody else have any comments on either one of the topics that Tony raised?
JEK.
Go ahead, Don.
Well, my father worked around about 1926. He worked with the WCC. I saw this on his commercial license. Some of the engineers had to sign that in those days to justify that he worked. He worked at two other stations, WRQSO. Those Marion, Massachusetts. In addition, the picture of the raised beam, the good self of Marion, Massachusetts, taken from the top of one of the towers back when. Quite interesting. Back then, that W2JK.
Where was WRQ?
Marion, Massachusetts. At WSO. They were both one right next to each other. There were two stations in there. Originally, Marconi, I think, might have put them up, and then they sold them to RCA. Over.
Okay, I knew SO was in Marion. I didn't realize that RQ was as well. And of course, WCC is down here on the shore, right?
I'm not sure just where that was. The one thing they did, though, for some of this was they had the Chatham, Massachusetts, I think, was a receiving station. Marion, Massachusetts was far enough away so that the receiver wouldn't be blocked by the transmitters.
Yeah, that's right. So the receiving stations and transmitting stations were remoted from each other. And usually the transmitter was the one that was away from the operators. The receiver, I think that's the way it was. The receiver was where the operators were located, if I recall. That's how they did it. They ran everything else over telephone lines. And those were DC cables, so when you closed the key, you closed the circuit on the transmitter, keying circuit. It's pretty amazing. The confluence of telegraphy, radio, and telephone network. Anybody else have any comments about a wireless station, Marconi, et cetera, or using the battery box as Tony described?
Let the wires come out of the box.
I'm sorry, what was that again, Don?
It would be advisable to put a fuse in that battery box. The wires came out of the box. Anderson Power Pole.
Yes, or at least ensure that the lead coming out of the that you plug into it, it's fused. But one way or another, it needs to be a fuse in the at least a positive lead on that puppy. Absolutely. Anything else, Tony?
2AMI with an additional comment. That is, I have a battery booster module that I'm using also. Some radios will not work when the voltage of the battery drops down. And by installing a battery booster line with the battery, much the way people do in their car, for some of the ICOMs, like the ICOM 7000, won't work if the voltage drops down below 12 volts. You can install a battery booster in the line and maintain a voltage in spite of what the battery voltage turns out. That might be a good idea also.
That's a good idea, but would you recommend floating it across, Tony, and just having that local battery there to keep things up and up?
What I have done is I've taken the battery box, as you refer to it, but the plastic, so there's no real metal involved with that. But I've run that battery voltage to a battery booster, and as the battery voltage drops, I maintain 13.8 volts on the output, and then that goes to my radio. There is a limit as to how far down the battery booster will boost the voltage. It'll go down to 10 volts on all coming off the battery and still give you 13.8 on the output with adequate amps to drive a underwater transceiver for a limited time.
I got you. Yeah, I think that between that and Tony and Don's idea of making sure that we have an adequate fusing arrangement, good points all around. Anybody else have anything they want to add?
K2EIR.
I'm sorry, say again.
K2EIR, I have something to add.
Right ahead, Howie.
I hope this isn't inappropriate because I've been doing something else and only listening with a quarter of an ear rather than even a half an ear. But I have a battery booster. I'm trying to remember a boost supply, who these folks are. But it's that K8J whatever something design. It was originally in QST. I have a low serial number of the original thing. It's made by some guy, T and something, or TM Electronics. He's up on the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. But I found that you really can't go down to 10 volts on an automobile's storage battery, or I shouldn't say that, on the jump start batteries, which I think Tony was mentioning, because the voltage drop in the battery and everything else is a little bit too much to keep it stable. stable, and any automobile battery should not be run down below 11.5 volts, because that's really its lower level, and the battery can be damaged. Now, I don't know about glass mat. What am I trying to think? You know, the batteries that are deep cycle. That's another story. What I've found is that oftentimes that even with the boost supply, the transceiver will the boost supply will drop out. It'll go into the bypass condition, so it is not increasing the voltage. Like mine increases it to 14.4 volts. But if the battery voltage really gets down there, even though I have the boost supply set for 10 volts, somewhere above that, it kind of drops out, certainly on peaks of power when you're talking on sideband. Just my observation that you can't really go down to 10 volts is what I'm trying to say. K2EIR.
Well, the problem is you can once, and they don't take a charge very well after that. Along that line, I actually had taken mine down inadvertently to around 10 volts, and mine were 12 ampere hour steel lead acids, some of which I got from Randy and some of which I had got from other providers, and I'm kind of curious, Randy, based on what Howie's saying, what's your prognosis for those batteries?
I kind of go along with Howie's advice, which is consistent with the things that I've read from multiple sources. You, even with the sealed lead acid batteries that you're referring to that we've both used, I certainly wouldn't want to push them really much below 11 volts or so, and then try and recharge them. I know they'll hold the charge pretty well, but you know, like everything else, you really don't want to abuse those things.
Well, that's right. So the real question is, if they have one episode where they do go down like that. I mean, mine seem to be holding a charge. Now they're doing okay, but needless to say, I was a little unhappy because I was unaware that they had dropped down that low, and a failure in my alerted to that kind of bad. My favorite two FEMA messages out of the 70 or so that I've now received today are the stay safe during bitterly cold temperatures and dangerous snow conditions. I'm not deleting that message. Then there's the other one. Give the gift of preparedness this holiday season. These messages are dated 4/23. Just thought everybody would like to know. Your federal government's at work looking after you. Any other thoughts on batteries I guess batteries. Let's work on batteries.
Comment,
go.
W2ATP. Just a quick question. Has anyone actually done anything with supercapacitors? The high-capacity capacitors that can, I think they go up to like 2800 farads. Chain them together, get 12 volts, and see what you get out of it.
Don't chain them together to get 12 volts. You just put it across the lead.
Yeah, series versus parallel, whatever. Yeah, just one further point on that, which is if you put together a 12-volt effective battery with supercapacitors and charged it with solar, where would that fall on field day for power requirements? Would that be alternative power?
Because of the solar, yes.
Okay, just because they don't allow solar with battery, I think that gets excluded. Solar with, or charging your batteries with generator doesn't qualify for the alternative.
So how do they, don't they have a solar panel allowance of some sort?
B2JK.
Don?
Any rule can use a battery that has been charged by solar power. That's what I do. I have a small solar panel here. It takes a couple of days, thin C cells or something like that. But it's up to run my QRP transmitter and heaters. have to make 5 contacts before it qualifies for CW contact. And that is allowed. They also allow a generator that runs grain alcohol rather than a petroleum-based. And also windmills or the power. And one year we had a generator that was operated run by an exercise machine. Great big size of this thing. Exercise machine. Not enough people. I went with an automobile generator and its regulator and a battery thing. Somebody would pedal that thing and operate the radio. What happened to that? I haven't seen it since I brought my solar panel around. The rules don't allow it that way, Paul, so we're up with that. Back to that. W2JK.
Comment? Go ahead, comment. Putting grain alcohol in a generator is alcohol abuse. WI2W. You can quote me.
We're hitting this engine.
Oh my God, anybody else?
2 AMI with another comment.
I'm afraid. Go ahead, Tony.
I'm not a drinking man, but in my research on these batteries that I've been working with, I see that there are some people who repair automobile batteries with baking soda and water and add it to the silk caps on the top of the battery. Has anybody, I've never heard of that. Has anybody experimented with that? Baking soda and water added to the acid on the battery. And they talk about desalinizing the plates. Any comments on that? Any knowledge on that?
Higher voltages and noxious things, but monitor that very carefully. So if you run a generator from fermented grapes, how do you tell which end of the apparatus, the engine or the alternator, is the wine coming from? JDH, go.
Left foot of one has a step.
Yep, very good. All right, our next, Tony, any more from you?
Is there any comment about baking soda added to a battery terminal, a battery cells to desalinize the battery? Anybody with experience or knowledge on that?
Go ahead, Paul.
The baking soda will clean up the terminals, but at the end of the day, wire brush is the same. Adding something into the acid, generally something like if you get stuck, stick an aspirin in, it will give you some juice just because of the reaction. But in general, you're not really doing much.
Okay, that's useful. Anything else for Tony? Okay, Tony, there's your answer.
I'm finished. I'll be listening on the side.
Alrighty, very good. W2LCN, Rick, your comment, please. Q2BAR. Alright, I guess Rick's up there. Greg, K2GFM, your comment question.
Hey Gordon, thank you. So my comment was, first of all, for the newbies out there, I discovered power poles, the Anderson power poles. They are a fantastic invention, and I just wanted to share that with everybody who doesn't know about them. If you know about them, you know how good they are. So I just wanted to share that. I'll let it drop for a second. Okay, and my question is, what is the common best practice for interconnects between short antenna connectors. So I have an antenna coming into the house. It goes to an SWR meter, and then I want to send that back to the radio. What type of cables do you use for that? Right now I'm using LMR 400 Flex, and it's very thick and very stiff and very unmanageable. And I was just wondering if I could go for something a little bit more flexible and easier to use.
Well, you can. Yeah, you can. Depending on what the frequency you're playing with, and also what the length of the cable is, and you can use something like RG8X, but you know, it's got a significantly higher attenuation, right?
Right, that's where I was going. So, I'm looking at the calculators online for loss for different types of cables, and you know, I mean, I don't know, I don't quite understand what the practical implications are of the different kinds of losses, so I don't quite know how to judge what I can get away with. I'm talking about, you know, a 2 or 3 foot length on a interconnect, so I don't know if an RG8X would be significantly impacting the performance over something like an LMR 400 Flex.
Well, yeah, it's got a lot higher attenuation, but you're only using a couple of feet. I think your biggest problem is that you're inserting something with adapters and connectors and things like that. That could have just as much of an attenuation loss as anything else. What you could do, do you have a dummy load?
No, I don't, and that's something I've been thinking about getting just to be able to test things.
Okay, so you borrow somebody's, or come down to the Fairlawn Club one Friday night, and what we can do is we can measure, you know, the various lengths of cable into a dummy load and at various frequencies. What frequency are you anticipating using this? Arrangement with a jumper on it?
It would be 2 meters, 220 and 440.
Yeah, is this basically to bring things into a window or something?
No, even shorter than that. So I have LMR 400 coming right to my desk at my station here, and it goes into a meter that's on my desk, and then from there, from the meter, I want to go right to my rig. So it's literally, you know, they're sitting right next to each other, so it's just enough cable to get from one to the other. Generally, I look at it as about 3 feet, so I can have a little bit of flexibility.
Now that you're going to have much trouble either way, so yeah, go ahead and use a short piece of RG8X, and if you don't mind, use a piece of LMR 400 Flex. What's the difference? I mean, I would just use the 400 Flex if you need to make a short jumper, as long as it meets the geometry which you need. I'd keep it simple. I mean, they make smaller, really cool, high-tech Teflon cables that are, you know, the size of the center conductor of the RG8X or you know, LMR 400 semiconductor, I mean, center conductor. But no big deal. Those are just expensive for no reason. You can certainly use those as well. I mean, they're really neat and nifty. As long as you're not going to need them, right? But it's a little overkill, but certainly nice. Anybody else have any thoughts? Comment?
Yeah, if you go on eBay, W2APP, you can get short runs of HeliX, the Anderson Superflex, fairly cheaply. But, you know, people just sort of sell, you know, a couple of 3 feet lengths that are really good for jumpers with, you know, connectors all in.
It's a good idea. Very good idea, Paul. I've actually bought short jumpers to salvage the connectors and reinstall them on longer lengths.
As always.
Yeah, because it's sometimes cheaper to repurpose existing connectors off of a short jumper than it is to buy a new connector, you know, because, or even another connector off of a, you know, already mounted on the long piece. You got the long piece, you don't have a connector, just salvage it off of a jumper, be done with it. Alrighty. Anybody else have comments for Greg?
back to you. Okay, thanks. I appreciate the input. I will consider the RG8X and some other options. The LMR 400 is a little bit stiff for me. I have it, but it's difficult to manhandle to get the units where I want them on my desk because they're so stiff.
Understood.
So just use a quality jumper, whatever you do. I think you'd be fine. Alrighty. Let's see. We've seen Tony. We've seen Greg. Randy, W2S, K2BAR.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, just a quick comment on a new toy I was playing with recently. I got interested in DMR, Moto Turbo, I believe it is. It's another form of digital communication. And I found out that the Fairlawn repeater, Whiskey 2 November Papa Tango in Fairlawn, is, I believe, the only VHF repeater in the area that has DMR mode enabled. So I've got a Kinect Systems handy talky, and they're under $200, very, very solidly made, and reasonably easy to program. And got it up and running last week and made a couple of QSOs and was very impressed with the audio quality. So it's something interesting to try. You may want to consider doing it. Kinect Systems imports some nice radios for VHF and UHF. It's also my understanding that the BCFMA has a repeater or several repeaters on UHF using DMR as well, so there is capability right here in our backyard to try out. Heartily recommend giving it a go. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to net.
Yeah, Randy, let me play shell here. I know the Fairlawn repeater is not networked. When you network them, you FM mode, I guess. I'm assuming that's also true for the BCFMA UHF repeater. It's dual mode but not networked, correct?
You know, that I don't know. I'm still a novice at all of this. So I'm just starting to get information and see how things work. So I'm not a real good source for that.
B2TRW, wait, check.
Ah, one who would know. Mr. TRW, Kai, welcome.
Good evening, K2BAR. This is KB2TRW. Yeah, as far as the best of my knowledge, the Motorola repeaters, they will do the what they call dynamic mixed mode, which is analog or digital. But once you network them, you lose that analog capability. There are other makes of repeaters, DMR repeaters, that will allow mixed mode, analog and digital, but will only pass the digital signal on network. So if you have analog, that stays on the local repeater. Back to that.
Interesting. I thought I saw on the Echolink list today, looking at just an Echolink list, I thought I saw one that was Echolink All-Star with DMR gate as a DMR gateway. That's, wow, that's pretty cool. So, stuff out there. So, we were talking about that last Friday. So, there's, you know, people are thinking of creative ways of networking things. And certainly the All-Star network is one way to skin that cat. So there might be, they're pretty open to all sorts of crazy nonsense like that. Good. Anybody else? Station. Go ahead, Randy.
Nothing.
Good. Hey, on a related note, back in the, you know, in the analog world, there is a new Anytone HT that looks suspiciously
In fact, it is suspiciously like the Olenko DJ-518 is there, 2-meter 440 handy talkie with like 1 watt of really good audio. But instead of spending $140 on it with out of programming cable, I noticed Advanced Specialties is selling the Olenko, probably the Olenko equivalent, you know, the Anytone for the bargain basement price of $80 with the programming cable, full 5-watt HT. It is only analog, but it's $80, so it's more than the Biaofengs we've been buying and less than the Wushans we've been buying. The best thing about it was that when you dial up 442, it does not sing and ring, so it doesn't use that same ridiculous Simona chip chipset that has the birdie on 442. So I think if I want to stop dragging my DHF 6 around every day, I might go to that as an alternative. And by the way, mechanically it was a lot more rugged as well. I mean, you could take the radio and use it, so just something to think about. It reminded me of the Kinect Systems package, by the way, which is also very robust. Those DMR radios that Kai's wife sells, and Randy has, I think you guys do, like Jim W. What does Jim's call? It's embarrassing. Anyway, he's not in tonight, but he has one as well. Those radios, the one thing, whether you use the DMR or not, as an FM radio alone, they've got punchy audio and they're mechanically robust. Anybody else have any comments? Hey, Randy, back to you for a last comment.
Again, just wanted to encourage people to give DMR a try, or at least give it some consideration. As you mentioned, there are some affordable choices now that are available. Some of these radios, are like the Kinect Systems, are really very ruggedly built, so it could be a lot of fun and interesting use of new technology. That's all I've got. Whiskey Uniform, 2 Sierra, back to net.
Oh, I do have one question. The speaker mic for it, is it a Kenwood style?
I don't know how to answer that. Probably Kai's got a better answer.
KB2TRW?
K2PAR.
Yeah, so what is the configuration of the speaker mic? Is it Kenwood-like? Is it something else-like? Or is it proprietary?
News is the Motorola type, so the type that fits the CP series, like the CP200, it'll fit in those. So it's got a narrower than the Kenwood, but so it's a Motorola type. Hope that clears things. Back to net.
Okay, so alright, very good. So it uses the CP200 type of interconnect. Very good. That's useful to know. All right, anything else from anybody on this DMR stuff? And keep in mind, I think there's a couple of networked repeaters in the area too, but they're mostly across the river in New York, but certainly accessible and reasonable to use. All righty, let's see. I'll try Rick again. W2LCN, K2BAR.
K2VAR, sorry about that, guys. I had to step away for the moment. Let me just make sure I got it. All right, very good. I just figured I'd throw out a couple of quick announcements. I think Friday over at the Fairlawn Club, I'll bring one of the VEX robots we use in the school, which is kind of fun. A great little system to learn and explore programming off of. Really a pretty neat little system. At any rate, my main announcement is... what is it? It's the 5K run being run by the Jacksonville Chapel. Nice little time for anybody that's new in here. I hear a lot of new call signs out there lately on 442 and 955, and I think it's probably you know, worth mentioning to everyone that something simple, like a simple event, like a 5K or something, gives you a great opportunity to manage and learn how to manage a net and run a simple communications plan through an event. And It's usually a lot of fun. We usually get together with a few folks and talk ham radio and basically use it as a social time. And there is one coming up on May 2nd. If anyone has any interest, we are going to be over in the Lincoln Park area running the Jacksonville Jack Bowl annual 5K run. And we had a great time last year. This year I'll make sure I bring donuts and some other coffee and things like that in the morning. It's a few hours. If you're interested, reach out to me, W2LCN at ARRL.net. So, K2BAR, back over to you.
Yeah, I will bring another radio but and a power source, but are you planning to let me use that lovely radio again?
Absolutely. I love bringing stuff out here. I may just throw an HF thing up into the tray, but, you know, Gordon, it's also worth mentioning that the portable day is also going to be in operation, so I have a funny feeling that a few people will gather in the morning on the UHF-VHF side, and then afterwards take a drive over for the lunchtime operation with the portable guys over at, I'm not going to mention the park because I don't know exactly where it is, but I know it's in Bergen County, so it might be a great day to get out and do some ham radio VHF in the morning and HF in the early afternoon. So I will bring the radio for sure, but it looks like it'll be a fun day for everybody.
I'm only mentioning it because that radio was particularly good for flipping between frequencies. Very excellent. I like Kenwood radios. That particular Kenwood radio was sweet. All right. Very good. And well, the other thing is that, yes, Barra Portable Day is that afternoon, actually that morning, it's starting at 10, till about, it's about 3 or 4 in the afternoon, at Pascack Brook Park. I think that it's a county park here in Bergen County, and I believe it's Emerson or Westwood, I'm not sure which, but Pascack Brook County Park. You'll find everybody by the time. And there are restrooms, and there's running water there, and good things like that. So, to wear a diaper or other inconvenience. Anyway, it's all good. All right, and Rick really could use some help with a run. So, you have a great time. It's a lot of fun. Good camaraderie, too. All righty. By the way, Rick, you might want to make a list of who last year's operators were and maybe shoot me a note at both my emails. And if we can hunt them down and see if a couple of the guys who were active last year and came to the net, came up, haven't been on the radio very much, at least not what I've been hearing, or what I've been on. So I was thinking guys like Paul and a couple others. W2LCN, K2BAR. Anything else?
Pretty much wraps it up. We do have a few people, though. It's good. We got some guys from the Wayne Club, people from the Bergen County area, and between the two, I'm sure we'll have no problem staffing each of the positions and making it work. You know, it might not do like a little bag vehicle or anything like that if it's unnecessary, but, you know, last year, the same thing. We had, you know, a handful of people and then more showed up when we got there, so it worked out pretty well. This year, we've got quite a few people that have expressed interest and will be there that Saturday morning, so at the very least, it'll be a nice, simple day to operate, and we could always use the extra help. No, that's about it. I'll send it back over to you. W2LCN, back over to K2VAR.
Okay, very good. And let's hope for good weather and the like. And since you brought it up about tomorrow night, bringing your robot to the Fairlawn Club, I will remind everybody that tomorrow night there's a Fairlawn Radio Club meet, formal tech session kind of thing. DS, work on stuff, operate several of the wonderful operating positions the club has to offer, and learn. Doors open around 6 o'clock, Fairlawn Community Center, and we're probably good till about 9:30. Good time, and the coffee pot's always running there, so it's all good. Lots of stuff in the fridge, all donations requested if you take something. So anyway, thank you very much, Mr. Rick. And let's see, John, you have a question, N2NBR. K2BAR.
I've decided to cancel my question. I have another branch of research that I haven't tried yet. So you know, the only other thing I was concerned about was if I decide to mobilize my low band either in a car or on a boat, I just wondered how
boat, the biggest issue on the boat is grounding. And as far as the car is concerned, the biggest issue is, in the small car, is dashboard space. And the other issue, I have a big car, so it's my dashboard space is not critical. The antenna locations are, as well as the cable runs back and forth. It's very tough to get through some of the, rear deck wall there. That I guess you almost call it a firewall, but that's a conversation for another day. Gordon, and I'll be listening out. 7-3 for now.
Okay, very good, John. Well, a lot of people hang wires off of their masts to the stern, typically. Other people will use center-fed dipole from their mast and short length forward and the long length rearward if they go. That's one. You definitely need a ballon and probably also a choke ballon again at the back of the radio to keep it pretty. Otherwise, you get RF. Sometimes in a car, but mostly in a boat. And as far as car dash space goes, you know, I had it wasn't a question of enough dash space, enough quality dash space. In other words, what did you do? And so what I did was I took a chunk of plate and used the same double stick stuff that you use for Easy Pass and gave myself a flat surface across an area that had no controls or anything, and it essentially gave myself a flat space. And then I used double stick on the front control heads, and that seems to work. Of course, that temporary lash up has been there for over a year, and now I have to kind of really work it a little bit.
But it does work.
And that's something to think about. I'm using a quarter inch aluminum plate, but you could do something thinner, as long as it's rigid enough. That's something to think about. Alrighty, John, we'll take your other question and to advise it once you finish your research. And to JDH, K2BAR, your ball, Andre.
She would comment.
K2BAR, there was a comment out there. I guess that was on the Echolink station.
Correct. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, hey, what's going on? It's N2VHC out here. I'm Mobile right now. I had a comment. I don't know if John's still there. I have a friend when I lived in North Carolina. His boat was next to mine. He had a sailboat. I think we're referring to a sailboat, I hope, because this pertains to a sailboat. He had a cable that ran from the back of his mast in the aft to the top, and it was called a backstay. He ordered this ICOM single sideband radio and through a marine SSB radio, and through a keyboard mod we were able to make that radio go on the amateur bands also. Well, more or less anything you could hear you could talk on, that kind of mod. It opened up the radio perfectly, as they say, you know, opened it up. But with that all done, we took his tuner that he bought, quite the expensive little tuner, but it was well worth the money because he mounted that in the transom of the yacht and fed it to that backstay. It tuned up beautifully. First contact we made from the marina after we installed it in Oriental, North Carolina. First contact was somewhere in British Columbia. Perfect, 5.9. Beautiful audio on sideband, you know. And he used, there's some kind of plates inside the walls of these sailboats. I'm not a sailor. I didn't have a sailboat. I had a powerboat. And there's kind of a plate that's inside that he used for the grounding of this whole thing. I don't know if you're still listening, John, but I just wanted to add that comment. Back to Net Control, K2BAR, this is N2VHC in Nebraska.
Yeah, it's attached to the keel. Does that make sense to you, John?
Well, to clarify one thing, I'm sorry, I didn't clarify it myself before. I have a powerboat. I have friends with sailboats, but my concern right now is for the powerboat. It's a fiberglass hull, and I don't want to punch any holes in it any more than are already there. And there's a book that is published by, let's see, McGraw-Hill, that covers, and I just